Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Thursday, March 13th, 2024, 6 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big show. Glad to have you along. Mr. Zommers on the board coming up at 1:30. Peter Rapine, our friend, will be here for our bi-weekly visit. He is the managing editor of EBOMS World, taking a look at the wild and wacky of humans. Not usual, well, occasionally a pet, an animal is involved, but usually more often it's the bizarre nature of human beings.
And often if animals are involved, it's still the people that are weird.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, yeah, I think every time it's been the people that are weird.
So that's coming up at 1:34. This afternoon. It's raining here high atop the State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in Madison. Need the rain. Glad for the rain. If you have plans today, tomorrow, and Saturday, if you're in the South, well, any place in Wisconsin, you think, well, wouldn't it be nice to drive into Madison and check out what, you know, you may at least allow yourself extra time, particularly if you're going to be coming into downtown Madison. Because let me set this up for you. Lots going on. You have the boys' state basketball tournament in town today, tomorrow, and Saturday. You also, as it turns out, the women Badger hockey team has gotten themselves into the NCAA. And their first round is at Laban Arena this weekend as well. So you have women's hockey at Wisconsin. You have Wisconsin high school boys basketball in town. And by the way, they have torn down one of the main parking ramps on Lake Street. So if you're used to, you know, coming off of Park Street there or off of University Avenue and turn onto Lake Street and parking in the Lake Street ramp, very close to the Memorial Union, it's gone. So they're building a new, of course, a new high rise and supposedly park in the future. So they've taken away several hundred parking stalls from downtown. So my point is, you know, if you're going to come downtown Madison in the next 3 days, allow yourself some extra time. If you don't have to come downtown, you may want to think again.
Thank you for the heads up, actually. Yeah. I didn't realize there were so many concurrent sports events this weekend. One of my friends was planning on coming into town to hang out this weekend, and I think there was some like concert they wanted to go to on Friday, and I'm going to ask if they maybe want to reconsider.
Well, I'm not discouraging people from coming. I'm just simply saying a heads up, because I think we all get into a routine, and it's like, oh, I know exactly where we're going to park. It takes you 15 minutes to walk there, bada bing, bada boom, and now I sound like Trump on the camp, bada bing, bada boom, choop, choop.
We've got a parking spot. It's about 15 minutes away. It's the best parking spot. No one else has any parking spots like it. It's like a dead dog.
Like a dead dog.
I don't remember what he said that about, but.
Oh, my God. That was actually pretty funny. Yeah, so just, you know, I'm your friendly drive time, midday drive time report. Just allow some extra time if you're coming into downtown Madison this weekend across the state of Wisconsin. But hopefully you are getting rain where you're at, because the entire state of Wisconsin in a drought, and we need it. You know what else we have a drought of? Common sense, particularly from MAGA Republicans. So here's the deal. And I told you I'd play this, and here it is. The House Republicans are holding a briefing, or maybe it's already wrapped up. It started a bit ago. They're having an issues conference. Well, they have a lot of issues, I'll say that, of the House Republican conference. But they're having this retreat. And I forget who was interviewing Mike Johnson. I think it was maybe Tony DeCoppola at CBS Mornings, who said, you know, look, a lot of these Republicans are saying they didn't want to go. Because the last time they had one of these, Mike Johnson, he turned it into an evangelical prayer service. And they're like, look, we're not here to go to church. We're here to like do business.
Well, if they're expecting anything different, right. I'm not.
Well, apparently now you in this very serious issue of in vitro fertilization. And of course, it's all started from the Alabama State Supreme Court outlawing in vitro fertilization in Alabama, and the chief justice, a conservative, used in his decision, written decision, quoted Bible verses and used Christianity as the terms for outlawing IVF or in vitro fertilization in Alabama. And so now the Alabama legislature said, whoops, I guess we kind of messed up on that one. And so they passed legislation to supposedly help. But if you read the language, it's still ambiguous. And many healthcare providers are like, we're still not going to do this because it could be misconstrued. Because basically, to put it in layman's terms, what the Alabama legislature's thing said is, well, you know, I mean, if as long as this is a legitimate, I think the term was legitimate birth. But it doesn't define what's legitimate.
Yeah, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah. And so it's anybody who has had, A, it's very expensive. And for the woman going through it, it can be painful and take a toll on her body. Because sometimes couples have to try several times to get pregnant through IVF. And each one of those embryos that is artificially put into the woman, if it doesn't hold, if it's not a complete pregnancy, that could be misconstrued under Alabama legislation as murder.
And that happens. That's just a normal part of the process.
Yes. And so that's what has many people in this country up in arms. And of course, national Republicans, knowing that we're already politically in the hole by overturning Roe v. Wade, thinking, well, we have to try to come out and be in support of in vitro fertilization. So earlier you had Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, saying, oh, we just want to, you know, create babies and we want to support families and all this and that.
And, you know, this is a new technology.
Right,
it came out in the early 1970s.
That's a pretty good Mike Johnson, too. Mr. Zahmer is spot on with his impersonations today. But here now, today, the House Republicans held a press briefing at their issues conference in West Virginia, appropriately enough. And look, I don't want to get any calls. I'm sure there are a lot of great people in West Virginia. I've driven through there a couple of times. Keyword through in West Virginia. But anyway, I digress. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, holding a press conference in West Virginia. And here now is what he has to say about his official stance on in vitro fertilization.
Yesterday, Congressman Molinaro signed on to Congresswoman Susan Wiles' bill to protect IVF. You have a couple other members that have withdrawn their name from the Life and Conception Act over concerns that it might create a legal problem for this procedure that so many Americans rely on. I know you said that you don't think Congress has a role here, but do you think, especially given the broader conversation about abortion and reproductive rights, that the conference needs to take on this issue somehow and put its mark on it?
All right, stop right there.
It's not my belief that Congress needs to play a
second. We'll go back and take the whole thing. So if you couldn't hear it, the reporter basically is saying, do you believe that Congress needs to take a role in vitro fertilization? Do you think that Congress has a responsibility to step up and make sure that in vitro fertilization remains a legal process in America for women? Here we go.
It's not my belief that Congress needs to play a role here. I think this is being handled by the states.
So there you go. I don't believe that Congress needs to play a role. It's handled by the states. That's all you need to know. That's where Republicans are at. They'll have no problem. And think if Trump gets a second term, that says it right there. That nationally, in vitro fertilization will be illegal. Imagine if Mike Johnson is the speaker and some Yahoo, Ted Cruz, ends up being the Republican leader in the Senate and Trump back in the White House. They're already telegraphing and telling us what they'll do. That Congress has no role, quote unquote, from the Speaker of the House on the Republican side. No role in deciding whether in vitro fertilization remains legal for women in the United States of America. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Tom in Madison, listening on WMDX. Tom, what say you?
Yeah, in vitro is just another case of Republicans not thinking the thing through. I was just listening to a report on NPR about doctors and OBGYNs in Indiana not wanting to practice there because it's just too dangerous. They did the same thing with guns. They want to give guns to teachers in Iowa, and the insurance company said, are you crazy? No, we're not going to insure you. It happened with the ACA. It happened with the Paris Agreement. It happened with coming out of the Iran treaty. They're really, really good at running away from stuff, but they never seem to have a backup plan. It's insane.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Tom. Thank you so very much, Tom in Madison, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Talking about the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, moments ago in West Virginia at a press conference saying that Congress has, quote, no role, unquote, in vitro fertilization. I mean, this is the party, the MAGA Republicans, who want to tell women when to have kids, when not to have kids, how to have kids, force you to have kids, prevent you from preventing pregnancy, and abolish no-fault divorce, all under the guise of religion. That last, the last sentence there comes from Elsa Ramon, by the way. I thought that was a great tweet. Give her credit for that. But it's still true. I mean, and again, I'm a person of faith. I grew up in the Methodist Church. I'm no longer part of the denominational church, but my faith is important to me. But we also have to remember that the United States was founded not on a national religion, but on a constitution. We follow the Constitution as the law, not any particular religious document, the Bible or otherwise. And so the MAGA Republicans continue to demean women, continue to attack women's rights, and quite frankly, even beyond women. To say that you're going to outlaw in vitro fertilization or not allow a national protection is taking away the ability for couples who cannot conceive in natural forms to have children. You're robbing people from families. And I always thought, you know, being a former Republican, we talked about family values and families were good. You have a lot of people that want to raise children with two parents. Some that want to do it with one. They've been great families. And Mike Johnson and the MAGA Republicans do not want to offer any protections. In fact, may even make it, like in Alabama, illegal. Back with more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tylo Ball Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tylo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 20 now before the hour, pardon me, after the hour of 1 o'clock. Mr. Zahmer's on the board taking your phone calls. After the news at the bottom of the hour, we will have the one, the only Peter Rapine of EPOM's World joining us for a look back at the week in review a day early. The wacky things that real humans do. Right now we're talking about the wacky things that are happening in Washington, D.C., or at least today in West Virginia, where the Speaker of the House has answered a question on in vitro fertilization, IVF, saying that Congress has, quote unquote, no role in assuring that that remains a legal practice for women and for couples nationwide. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Cindy, listening up in Appleton. Cindy, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, I'm just wondering, where does it say in the Bible, thy legislator shall play God?
Great question, right? Yeah, yep. I mean... I don't know. I mean, you can say or not say, it's up to you, Cindy. But I mean, like I said, I was brought up in a faith household. My faith is still important to me. I'm not part of a denominational church anymore. I think that whatever it is, Christianity or the Muslim faith or the Jewish faith, or people that don't have a particular faith at all, but maybe are very into nature. I mean, whatever that is, you know, that plays important roles in people's lives who have those beliefs. But when you allow those beliefs to infiltrate into government, That's where I think we have a problem. How do you feel about this, Cindy?
Well, I feel the same way, and I just think it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, there's so supposedly there's such constitutional people, but you know, there's always been church and state separation, but they can't seem to wrap around their heads around that because it just keeps coming from this Christian right-wing crap that really not too many people believe in. I just can't believe there's that large of a number of people that believe into this stuff and buy into this because it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The white Christian nationalists, and again, when I say white Christian nationalists, I'm talking about people who literally believe, have put it in writing, who give speeches about it from the pulpit, from the altars, whatnot, that say they want to replace the Constitution with the Bible as the law of the land. That's white Christian nationalism, right? And I think that they are a minority within the United States of America, but there's been this weird melding with the MAGA Republican folks, and it's all become intertwined. And I think a lot of it's based on fear of the changing demographics of the United States.
That's true.
Cindy, always appreciate the call. Thanks for listening up there in the Fox Valley. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Before we get into our rapine here or after the bottom of the hour, I want to go to something. I did not want to spend a whole lot of time on this. I agree with Pat Kreitlow, who was on yesterday and said, you know, every time we talk about this, it takes away from more important things. But I think this one is worth mentioning. And this was Jake Tapper yesterday on CNN talking about Aaron Rodgers. Yes, the former Packer quarterback, now with the Jets, who is being bantered about. Apparently, he is one of the two finalists for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to name on his ticket to run as his vice president. And Jake Tapper had some things to say on a fellow reporter at CNN running into Aaron Rodgers a while back. And I'll let Jake Tapper speak for himself. Here's Jake Tapper on Aaron Rodgers.
In 2013, when CNN's Pamela Brown was covering the Kentucky Derby, she was introduced to Rodgers. Hearing that she was a journalist at CNN, Rodgers began attacking the news media for, quote, covering up important stories. Rodgers then brought up the Sandy Hook shooting and said the news media was intentionally ignoring that the shooting wasn't real, that it was a government inside job. I remind you, the shooting, of course, was very real, very tragic. 20 children and 6 adults were murdered that day. When Pamela Brown asked Aaron Rodgers for evidence of what he was talking about, Rodgers then began sharing various theories that have been disproven numerous times by evidence. Rodgers falsely claimed to Pamela Brown that there were men in black in the woods by the school, and he asked if she thought that was odd. Brown says that she found the entire encounter disturbing.
So that's what Jake Tapper had to say, and they're reporting on Aaron Rodgers, and this is spread was on national news this morning in a lot of different venues. So I'll read what Aaron Rodgers put out about an hour ago. He has put out a statement via Twitter on this. He says, quote, as I'm on the record saying in the past, what happened in Sandy Hook was an absolute tragedy. I am not and have not been of the opinion that the events did not take place. Again, I hope that we learn from this and other tragedies to identify the signs that will allow us to prevent unnecessary loss of life. My thoughts and prayers continue to remain with the families affected, along with the entire Sandy Hook community, unquote. If you notice in that statement, and I don't know whether it was written by Rodgers or a publicist or by the Jets or whoever, if you notice in that statement, he never denies the account that Jake Tapper and CNN are reporting. He never denies these conspiracy theories. He simply says that Sandy Hook happened and that people were killed. And again, this goes to, in my opinion, we've entered the Trumponian world of politics where people with huge platforms and celebrities are allowed to spread these complete crap untruths that affect human lives. I cannot imagine the tragedy of losing a kid or a mom or a dad, especially in that way. And for a guy like Aaron Rodgers to spread these whack-ass conspiracy theories about human lives is sick, and it needs to be called out. The same way we started this show today with Trump saying things about Hillary Clinton that were completely untrue, saying that Bleach Bit is liquid when it's a software program, and the mainstream media just lets this stuff ride. They hardly ever get called out on this crap. And we can laugh about it. We can say, yeah, I mean, it's just goofy and it's funny and that's Aaron Rodgers and his ayahuasca ceremonies or whatever and his dark rooms and all this. And we could, you know, but the problem is that there are people out there who will vote for this. We saw it with Trump. He's nothing more than a con job with a TV show and a grifter. He's not a billionaire. We see that now with all these court cases. He doesn't have the money that he said he had. He was not a successful a business person like he led people to believe. He didn't write his own books. Other people did it for him. He is an abuser of women. He's been found liable in a court of law for sexual assault, which in any other criminal case would have been called rape. He's a terrible person by all accounts. But yet, because of his celebrity, and because no one or very few, not enough people, called him on these things in 2016, he got elected. And look at the damage that was done. As we said before, 4 years ago, 2020, hundreds of thousands of people dying of COVID because the person at the top didn't take it seriously and was inexperienced. Aaron Rodgers might have done well for the Packers. There was a time when I cheered for him. That time has long since passed. And these conspiracy theories are sick, particularly when it involves human beings. We're going to come back, lighten things up a bit, turn a page, have Peter Rapine in here talking about the wacky things humans do, besides voting for people like Trump and Aaron Rodgers. Peter Rapine of EPOM's World on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Your news starts now on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Town Ball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network, 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. It is International, or at least United States Pi Day, Thursday, March 14th, 2024, 3.14 Pi Day, right, Mr. Zalmers?
Indeed, it is. And that song goes pretty far into the digits. It's about 14 minutes long.
Is it really?
Good. It is.
Who sings that?
It's from an old college humor bit. So
oh, really?
It's,
all right.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not happy a real Pi Day. Song, per se.
Happy Pi Day to all those who celebrate. We are joined as we are every other week. We always appreciate it. He is here a day early to accommodate some scheduling. Peter Rapine, the managing editor of EPOM's World. Great site. And what I love about this is the fact that this is not fiction. Things are not made up. These are real people doing bizarre things in their natural element. Peter Rapine, how the heck are you?
Doing fantastic today, Todd.
You're looking.
Thanks for having me on a day early.
Well, thank you for making time. I know your voice is a little strange. You're looking rather French in the black. You look fantastic.
Yeah, you caught me at a day where I'm working at home and getting over a cold. So if I sound pretty sultry, just. I think I look like James Dean if you can't see me.
Yes. I said your voice sounds a little sultry. You need a snifter of brandy or something like that.
It's coffee, I swear.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, we appreciate you making the effort. And again, you can find all of these stories at the great site of ebombsworld.com. So let's get right into it, Peter Rapine. What is the first headline that we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, so the first headline today is a little bit of family drama, which who doesn't love family drama? We all have families. Yes. We all have drama.
Yes, we
do. But this one family might have better drama than the rest of us. So our headline reads, woman removes her matching mother-daughter tattoo after finding out her mother slept with her husband.
Ow. I shouldn't laugh about this, but there's something fantastically wonderful about it.
I laughed about it.
I mean, she had.
You can laugh about it. Yeah, we're laughing about it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, the story goes as it sounds. Mother-daughter, you know, got matching tattoos to celebrate how much they love each other. The tattoo reads, you'll be, and it's encompassed in a heart. So, right, you'll be my heart, you'll be my love. Well, this woman posts a TikTok, which I will make a quick aside. If the government does ban TikTok, we're going to lose incredible stories like this one.
Right.
So call your representatives and tell them not to do it. So this woman shares a TikTok of her going to a tattoo removal office and telling the story about how she found out that her mom had slept with her husband. Because of that, she didn't feel like she could keep the tattoo that bonded them, because she no longer is her heart.
Well, and see, this is what I find interesting about it, is it doesn't say you'll be my heart mom, or, you know, there's no initials here. It's just you'll be my heart. But I guess she got it for her mom. So, I mean, she's getting her removed without the name on it. But number two, and I think this brings up an interesting topic, and whether you want to go here or not, but I feel like this is more common than not, where you know, whichever way it goes, you know, I mean, dad sleeping with the girlfriend or mom sleeping with the boyfriend or whatever. I feel like, you know, you got to be careful sometimes, because I think this is an untalked about topic. You understand? Am I off?
No, I mean, you're probably not too far off. I definitely feel bad for people who have to second guess, like, wait, should I bring my girlfriend around my parents? You know, you don't want to have that relationship with your parents.
Right.
But yeah, it's probably not as uncommon as you would think. I know, like, getting tattoos removed that you don't like over time or that age poorly, that's definitely pretty common.
Oh, right.
But the reason behind this one is pretty sad, but also pretty hilarious.
I mean, it's sad. I feel bad for the girl, you know, I mean, and it, you know, and there's just a picture of the girl. So you wonder, like, well, was her boyfriend, like, or her husband really hot? And was her mom like a young mom, or what, you know, was this just a one drunken night? We don't know.
No, we don't know. Yeah. But we do feel bad for her, but I, you know, she's moving on in the only way that she can by, right, removing the tattoo.
I hope you're watching on the stream, because half of my fun with talking about Peter Rapine every other week is just his dry sense of humor. Like, we feel bad, but really not that bad. it's the visuals are as fantastic
it's easy to blame the mom.
Yeah.
But I also think the husband, you know, should shoulder a fair amount of the blame too.
Yes.
It's like, dude, you're going to cheat on your wife, like, bad for one. You could have chosen anybody else in the world besides her mom.
Besides, like, your mother-in-law.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it says something for
different
you.
Strokes.
There are people that get along with their mother-in-laws, some better than others.
Clearly.
All right, next headline.
Gosh. So this is probably something everyone listening to is already pretty familiar with. Mm-hmm. And as someone who has never been a fan of the Royals, I don't think most Americans in general are fans of the Royals.
We're talking about the royal family.
The royal family of England, yes. Well, Kate Middleton, I think we talked about the BBL thing a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
The myth that Kate has been seen because she had a BBL, which we still don't know if that's true or not. She still hasn't been seen. She shared a photo over the weekend celebrating Mother's Day. And in the UK, they do Mother's Day in March. But she shared a photo of herself with her three children, and the AP, a couple hours later, issued a kill order on the photo, mm-hmm. claiming that it had been doctored after a bunch of people online noticed weird things with hands and hairs and, you know, all these little aspects of it, which is crazy to begin with.
It is. And Mr. Zomers, for those watching the stream, has put up a photo, the original photo, and then a zoomed in where you see on the daughter's hand there, it looks like that the hand doesn't quite match up with the sleeve.
Exactly. Which, for, you know, press to be sharing photos that they can't verify is obviously really bad. Mm-hmm. Whoever, you know, the AP doesn't often issue kill statements like this on photos.
Right.
But she doubled down, releasing a tweet the following day, which reads, and I quote, "Like many amateur photographers," I'm not sure we consider her an amateur photographer, right. But I proceed. "I do occasionally experiment with editing." It's like, no, you don't. No one would believe you.
Right.
She continues, "I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photo we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrated and had a very happy Mother's Day." And the internet saw this and was like, for one, you're lying. Right. For two, where are you? And then for three, everyone started making jokes and photoshopping her and her kids into all sorts of different photos.
That's ridiculous.
Because, I mean, it's pretty nefarious, but do you actually think that the Princess of Wales is photoshopping pictures of her children in her spare time?
I don't know, but to your point, I mean, this not only the Zomers is putting up some of these that have been posted as, you know, obviously like them on the moon or what have
yeah.
you. But I saw the story where they're talking about there's a tree in the background and Mother's Day is early in the UK. But someone said yes. even the trees in the UK right now are not leafed out, and the tree behind Kate Middleton and her kids has leaves on it.
I know.
And yeah, I mean,
nothing gets by the you know the sleuths online.
And also, isn't it sad that now Kensington Palace can no longer be considered a reliable news source or accurate?
Yeah.
Right. And look, I mean, if Kate Princess Kate, if she has some sort of a serious medical condition or she's recovering from something, that's not funny. And I wish her all the best.
Just but don't post a fake picture of you and your kids.
Right. I mean, to, exactly. To Peter's point, just don't lie about it. It's always the cover up that gets you.
And you know, the next plausible, you know, train of thought is, well, has this happened to other times? Are there other photos that have been doctored
exactly.
of her or her family or the royals that have led the public astray? And I would argue probably,
yeah.
right? It's not something that just, oh, this is the first time this has ever happened.
Right.
And now they released, there was another photo the other day, allegedly of her and William in a car driving somewhere. And of course, no one really believed that it was legit either.
Right.
Whether it kind of seemed like it might have been, but everyone was, you know, sleuthing there too, trying to say, oh, the photo is actually months old, yada, yada. But yeah, what a terrible PR nightmare. Also absolutely hilarious and probably the only way you could get me to care about the royals.
You're not a big royal person otherwise. Yeah,
yeah, no, not really. I don't.
Peter Rapine. Now, we're talking Peter Rapine, managing editor of E-Bombs World. You can find all of these stories and so much more at E-Bombs World. That's E, B as in boy, A-U-M-S, World, ebombsworld.com. All right, I'll give it to you as a potpourri. What is your next headline, Mr. Rapine?
All right. Next headline reads, and this one, you know, I have certain opinions about it. We'll get to it. Right. Man denied restroom access, even though he presented a I have to poop right now card.
All right. Well, it's just, there's a lot to unpack.
We'll dial this one down.
It needs to have a visual because there's literally a supposed card involved.
Yes. So a law student went on Twitter recently. Which actually happened in Kensington, funny enough.
Oh, really?
Where he showed a photo of a card that he allegedly showed someone at a Sainsbury. And the card reads, "Just can't wait," big bold letters. "I have a medical condition and need to access a toilet urgently. Toilet access card." Which, if you've ever been in public and you got to go, like, you need a toilet, right? Whether you have a medical condition or not, I think we've all been there.
Right.
And
just to interrupt you for a second, the visual here, it's the top is blue and the letters are in white, and the bottom is in blue, the letters are white, and the middle is white and the letters are in blue. So it kind of sort of looks like kind of official, but there's no, like, hospital or clinic. It looks fake to me. But go ahead.
Yeah, it's probably something that he made himself.
Right. But go ahead. I just want to give people the visual. But go ahead.
Yeah, maybe he photoshopped it himself, or maybe he has a serious condition. It's hard to actually tell. But as you can assume, going online complaining that someone didn't give you access to a toilet, even though you have a card that says that you need the access, the man did not bode well for him. Everyone jumped on him and was like, "Dude, poop your pants, like, you're a dork, you're yada, yada, yada." But if I can be controversial, I'm actually on his side. I think we all should walk around with cards that say, "I have to poop right now. Please give me access to your bathroom."
But see, that's now we're into crying wolf. I mean, if everybody says they have a condition, then, you know, it's like when, I mean, it's kind of lost a little bit of trendiness now. But when celiac disease was hot for a minute, you know, like, everybody had celiac disease. "Oh, I can't eat bread. I have celiac disease." Well, no, not everybody has celiac disease.
Here's the thing, though.
That's just a thing.
Totally. Here's the thing with the bathrooms, though. I think places that make you pay to use the bathroom, such as when I went on a vacation in London. I think that's obscene. I think that's awful. Everybody needs water. Everybody needs to take a dump or to pee. Exactly. Like, just let people use the bathroom. Come on.
My grandpa used to tell this story. There used to be pay toilets at Westtown Mall here. I think Rennenbaum's drugstore at West. He had put a quarter in to use the John. I'm not making this up. And I'll clean it up for radio. But he used to say there was some bathroom poetry on the wall. It said, "Here I sit, brokenhearted. Had to crap, but only farted. Later on, I took a chance, let a fart and crap my pants." The wisdom and poetry of Warren Wallace. So to Mr. Zomer's point, when you got to go, you got to go.
Exactly. And who's trying to take advantage of like a small business? Like if you're going to the bathroom in public at like a Starbucks somewhere, you're not doing it because you want to. You have to. You don't have a choice. Right. Who wants to use a bathroom at a Barnes & Noble's? Who wants to use a bathroom right at a crappy dive bar? Which I have found is the best place to go to the bathroom if you're in public and you need one.
Really?
Find the closest dive bar. Usually they're chill, but also they probably don't care.
Right.
Exactly. Not the cleanest place. They're not really worried about people coming and going.
Do your business and get out.
And get out, yeah.
All right, got about 45 seconds left. You want to tease a headline and then we'll pick it up on the other side?
Yeah. Local vegan bakery caught reselling Dunkin' Donuts.
What? What? Says Peter Reap, local vegan bakery caught reselling Dunkin' Donuts. This is an atrocity. I mean, who does that? We're gonna come back. We're gonna get the skinny on the vegan donuts from Peter Rapine of EPOM's World. Don't miss it. It's the Week in Review right here on the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That is the top of the hour when we will have Maggie Dawn and the Maggie Dawn Show taking over these airwaves every afternoon, 2 until 4, the Maggie Dawn Show. Right now we are honored, as we are each and every other week, by the presence of Peter Rapine, the managing editor of EPOM's World, a great site, not fiction, not made up. This is not just a group of people making crap up on a typewriter. These are people sussing out all the news of the day and the week to provide you with what really matters, the craziness of the human spirit and human soul. Peter Rapine, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, Todd. This next story we have is kind of the perfect example of like human ingenuity, right? Sometimes life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. Sometimes you run a local vegan bakery and you run out of donuts. So what do? You go to Dunkin' Donuts.
The headline again, give it to people who are just tuning in.
Yes, yeah, so if you're just tuning in, local vegan bakery caught reselling Dunkin' Donuts.
Local vegan bakery caught reselling Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, who does this?
Someone in a pinch.
Clearly. So give us the D. Give us the 411 on this.
Yeah, so this story was, we found it on Instagram. A woman by the name, her account is called Cindy Snacks. She lives on Long Island.
And be very careful when you say that, Cindy Snacks. Go ahead.
So she went to her local vegan baker, the Savory Fig, and bought a donut that she thought was a vegan donut. But then when she looked at the donut, she realized that the sprinkles on the donut were in the shape of D's, which if you've ever been to a Dunkin' Donut, you know is a staple of Dunkin' Donuts. But this woman didn't just stop there. She took pieces of the donut and sent them to a real lab where the contents of the donuts were analyzed, and they were found to contain eggs and cream and obviously milk, proving that it was not a vegan donut. So no one in the history of donuts has ever gone to more lengths to prove that they were sold a Dunkin' Donut on mistake.
I have several questions here. number one, well, let's just get this out of the way right away. There are people that have very serious food allergies. Mm-hmm. And if you eat something like that, it could cause you great illness, if not death. So number one, trying to spawn these off as vegan is terrible. Let's just get that up front. But on the other hand, it's also hilarious because the photo that you have here in the piece on EPOM's World, the frosting is this kind of lavender, and the D's, as in Dunkin', are lavender and orange, literally the colors of Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, you said it right. It's very plainly just like, what was this baker thinking they were going to, like, did they really think they were going to get away with this? But what's even funnier is the woman who bought the donut was not going to take it lying down. Like, she took the internet.
Right.
She sent the donut out to a lab, which I wonder how much getting a donut, you know, blood work, donut work done. What does that even cost? Right. Does insurance cover
and
that?
Who, that's my other question. Where do you find a lab that will test your donut?
I mean, maybe she had an in. Maybe like a brother or sister or a husband or someone worked at a lab and was like, okay, I'll take the case up for you.
But I mean, can you imagine, like, you go in, so, you know, let's say I'm the worker there. Hi, good afternoon. My name is Todd. Welcome to the Savory Fig. Can I interest you in a purple donut with D's on it? I mean, come on.
I know. Yeah.
You know, if I was going to try and pass off someone else's donut as my own, I would not pick D's donuts.
Right? All right, Peter Apine, we got some time. Give us a couple more here. What's your next headline in EPOM's World?
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys are big jalapeno fans. I'm sort of on the fence. So, yeah, I'm. Me too. Sometimes I like them, sometimes I don't. Yeah. But if you are a jalapeno fan, you might have noticed that jalapenos have gotten less spicy.
Say what?
Yes. So our headline is, no, you're not crazy. Big Ag has made jalapenos less spicy.
Really?
Yeah. So this story comes to us from D Magazine. It's actually about a year old. So it was published in May of 2023, where one of their editors took it upon themselves to do a deep dive after noticing and talking to some chef friends of theirs that jalapenos had gotten less spicy, that he felt like the kick wasn't there.
Okay.
And it actually turns out that that Texas A&M created a new jalapeno. And they call this jalapeno the TAM2 jalapeno line. So genetically engineered jalapenos to make them less spicy. So
what are we? Here's PJ on the YouTube says people have too much time on their hands. Thank you, PJ. I mean, what's the world coming to, Peter Apine? We have people working to genetically engineer jalapenos?
It appears so. It's not the only fruit that obviously has been genetically engineered. You know, you look at most of the fruits and vegetables we eat, tomatoes, watermelons, bananas, I think are some of the popular ones that people know. Corn, Brussels sprouts have been genetically engineered to make them less bitter. Growing up, I hated Brussels sprouts, but now they're one of my favorites.
Really?
So it's not all bad.
Yeah.
But who out there is asking for less spicy jalapenos?
Right.
It just kind of defeats the purpose. It's like, if you want a pepper, eat a pepper.
Yeah.
If you want something spicy, don't eat jalapenos, apparently.
So these chefs apparently have to probably use more jalapenos in their recipes because they're less spicy.
Well, the funny thing is I'm someone who loves watching cooking videos.
Yeah.
I really eat, no pun intended, I eat that stuff up.
You ever check out the ones at UW La Crosse? That's a whole other subject, but anyway.
But I honestly, and this is just my own, you know, kind of noticing this. I'm not sure if it's a larger trend, but I think serrano peppers have become more popular because jalapenos have fallen off. They're not as spicy as they used to be. So if you are looking for some kick in a homemade chili, grab yourself a serrano pepper. Do not go for the jalapenos.
Look at this. I mean, not only did you get great headlines, you get cookie advice from Peter Apine. I got about 2 minutes, Peter. Give us a final headline in about 1 minute. So you have anything in 1 minute, give it to us.
I do. German dude gets vaccinated 217 times. Is totally fine.
German dude gets vaccinated 217 times, but it's totally fine. What was the vaccine that he was taking?
The COVID vaccine.
Who would give it to him 217 times?
That's a good question.
But it's true. You're not making this up. He really did.
No, I'm not making
and,
it up.
And I'm all for totally vaccines. Fine. I'm all for vaccines. But I mean, that what doctor gives you 217 vaccines?
I don't know. But maybe he was trying to prove that it was safe. And I think he's probably done that.
Well, he's totally fine. So is Peter Rapine. EPOM's World, we appreciate, my friend. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. And stay tuned next. Maggie Dawn, this is Todd saying, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, keep banging your drum.
Keep banging on your drum.